You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Drops away above the chimney tops. That's where you'll find me. Somewhere over the rainbow, bluebirds fly. Birds fly. Why can't I? If happy little bluebirds fly beyond the rainbow, why, oh, why can't I?
Ladies and gentlemen, I had my computer muted. I apologize. I was talking up a storm, and thankfully Julie just told me. Anyway, the song you just heard, Judy Garland, 1939, is in honor of Dr. Mary Ann Moore, John Moore's wife, who passed away yesterday about noon. We're all very sorry to see her go. It was not unexpected, though, stage 4 cancer. But John and his family could definitely use your prayers. I don't have any information on services or anything like that. I hope to get it today. Right now we're visiting with Tom Berryhill. And Tom, we've got a caller. Dr. Lynn Wilbert is on line one. Good morning, doctor.
Greetings.
So how are you doing today, sir?
I'm doing fantastic.
Yes, you
How
are.
About yourself?
Not bad.
And you?
Not bad. Kind of bummed out about Marianne going, but, you know, other than that, okay.
Well, that is something to be a bit distraught about, because I've known her for a very long time, almost 3 decades
yeah.
now.
Wow.
But it's interesting. It's something that we never get used to because it wasn't supposed to happen. Man wasn't supposed to
right.
die. And so when that happens, it's very, like I say, distraught. If you are, that's natural and normal. The way I did that, and I'm just assuming that most, if not everyone on the call, has had a loved one or a friend pass away physically or make the transition from physical life
right.
to non-physical life. See, there's
oh,
a
absolutely.
Part of us Now, there's a part of us that Mary Ann that's still alive, and that's the energy part of her. That's the energy part of her. And who was it? Sir Isaac Newton. I believe that's who it was. I'm not sure, but that sounds good. He taught it the phrase, energy is neither created nor destroyed. And since right. every human being born started off as an energy being, before we were a physical being, we were an energy being. Around each living human being, I'll just keep it to the live side, we can measure the energy around people. It's called Perlian photography.
Right.
And that energy is what built the body. That energy field is what built the body. So if we can go back a little bit to embryology, which is my favorite subject. My son was born when I was studying embryology, and he's 34. When we go back to the original, when there's a sperm and an egg, before it became a fertilized cell, the sperm and the egg, sperm from dad, egg from mom, approximated. And so around that individual cell, each individual cell is an energy field. And as soon as that energy field gets close enough and overlaps the other, that's you. That's you as an energy being.
Right.
Where did the electrons come from? Well, electrons never die. Energy is never here. The source of dynamic energy is always here. And so we were energy beings before we actually became physical beings. So now those two cells overlap, and then the energy around those two cells overlap, and then the cells combine to form one single fertilized cell, composite cell from mother and father, and one energy field, composite energy field from mother and father. And so I've pondered on this for a lot
right.
of time. Where did the electrons come from? Well, I don't know, so I gave it a name.
Right.
The great electron storage bank in the sky. The electron storage bank
okay.
in the sky. Yes. So that when it's required to make another human being, you use the recycled electrons that are in the storage bank to create another physical individual. I mean, it's happening right now all over the world. And so now you have a composite energy field, composite fertilized cell, and that single cell, everything is there. Everything started from that single cell. Then eventually it multiplied
right.
into two. And then those two perfect cells became four, eight, 16. And then you continue to multiply until you got to a certain stage of development. The cells,
there's
about 200,000 cells at this time. And your mother still may not know that she's with child. So these
right.
identical cells with the energy field around it starts to differentiate or separate and specialize into three distinct layers. An outer layer, a middle layer, and an inner layer. The inner layer is endoderm. It's where all your organs and your glands and your liver and your gut, all of that formed from that set of cells. The middle layer
right.
is mesoderm. Bones, muscles, ligaments, tendons, bursa, connective tissue, anything has to do with musculoskeletal. The outer layer, ectoderm, forms the skin, the largest organ in our body. And it also forms the central nerve system, the brain, the spinal cord, and all the nerves going everywhere. So that's the one we want to focus
yep.
on. Most importantly is the ectoderm. When you touch the skin, you affect the nerve system. So that's the kind of work that I do called AccuTouch. You can effectively activate the healing system of the body, and it's under the control of the healing system of the body. So now you have cells that have started to differentiate and specialize and form systems. Who told us to do that? What told the cells to change? The energy field.
Doc.
Yes.
Hey, Doc. Can we by chance continue this tomorrow? We got callers stacking up, buddy.
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
Yeah, let's jump right into this as soon as you come on tomorrow at 9.
Tomorrow, because I'm extremely
fascinated. But like I said, we do have callers stacking up.
Beautiful.
So greatly appreciate your call, Doc, and thank you for that explanation. Next, we go to Jill in Missouri on line 11. Good morning, Jill.
Yes. Good morning. I have a question about the energy cleaner. I just recently won, and I followed the directions with my 9 size D Duracell batteries. And when I closed it up, it was blinking. However, since that time, I'm blinking like 37 red lights in a row, and then it goes to about the same amount of green lights in a row. Is that the way it is supposed to behave?
It's yes,
Tom,
it's
go ahead.
Correctly. Yes, it's working correctly. But when the machine was originally designed, the original inventor wanted an indication of what polarity of voltage the machine was putting out. And that is a good thing in some cases, and sometimes it causes more confusion than you could ever imagine, because everybody thinks the green means go and the red means stop, so on. But all it's doing is indicating the polarity of the output. So when the energy cleaner is blinking red, you have a positive polarity coming out. And when it's blinking green, there's a negative polarity coming out. And and in between, in that transition, when it goes from positive to negative or negative back to positive, there's a short period of time where there's an algorithm that's transmitted. And that's one of the trade secrets, I guess you'd say, of the energy cleaner. We keep that as a secret algorithm that puts out a special healing signal. And we worked on that algorithm for 6 years to perfect it and get it exactly to where it needed to be. So that's exactly how it works. We could probably make that thing just blink green or blink red all the time. But that's and I've thought about doing that because it has caused confusion from time to time. And your counts are correct. Actually, it blinks 36 times, and then one color, and 36 times the other color. And to even refine it a little more, it blinks for 0.2 seconds every 4,800 milliseconds. So every 4.8 seconds, it blinks for 0.2 seconds, which is a 5-second cycle for the blink. We didn't want it to blink too quickly. That would be distracting, but an occasional blink let you know that the machine's working. So the bottom line is, if that lamp is blinking, don't worry about the color. Just go with it. If it's blinking, it's working.
Okay. So I use this same energy cleaner with the small pad in my car. I had to drive from Maryland out here to Missouri. I started out at 3 a.m. in the morning. I didn't get to Cuba, Missouri until 8 p.m. that night. And I didn't feel the refreshing that I heard you would feel when you use this energy cleaner for long drives. So I don't know what to say about that, but I surely didn't feel refreshed.
Well, I'll tell you, everybody's different on that. I can tell you my own personal experience. I drove from Tampa, Florida, back to, you mentioned Cuba, Missouri, right near, I live just north of Cuba, Missouri, and I drove from Tampa to north of Cuba, Missouri, nonstop except for about an hour and a half break in between in Tennessee. Mm-hmm. And
yeah.
I would have never been able to do that without that energy cleaner. It did keep me going. But I had a relatively large blanket draped over the seat, so I had a larger than normal pad. And that's what
okay.
I did. It worked good for me. And we're all different. That's the other thing, is everybody wants to flip a switch and their health is better and everything overnight. And it's not always that way.
Okay. All right. Well, that answers my question. So thank you.
And thank you for calling.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for your call.
Okay.
You know, Tom, I was thinking you ought to make all... That's an RBG LED on that thing, yeah. Energy cleaner.
Repeat that, Tim. Do what on the energy cleaner?
The LED light on the energy cleaner. It's just a regular RBG LED, isn't it?
It is an LED. It's a red green. So
red green. Okay.
Right. There's no intermediate colors. It's not red, green, blue, or anything like that.
I was hoping there was, and you could make one for law enforcement, red and blue. Anyway, we got Alan in North Dakota on line one. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning, gentlemen. Absent the lights going out, when do you change the batteries? Or is there another indication?
We do not monitor the battery condition. It's the thing to do is to just... Put a sticker on the case and write down the date, and then a date from a year from that date that you write down, and that's the best way to do it. A lot of people just do it that way. We could monitor the battery and make the thing start beeping or something, or just make it turn itself off where you'd have to open it up and do something. It's all been kicked around, but simple is best, and I think the sticker is the easiest way to go.
So 1 year.
I change mine every September. So when September gets here, I know to change mine.
Yeah,
I can tell you that we had a prototype that ran over 5 years, about 5.5 years before the batteries gave out. So it will go for a long time, but they start leaking. Those batteries will leak, and it's not just the energy cleaner.
Yeah.
It's any electronic device that relies on batteries.
I've had mine in there for over a year, so maybe I'll just change the batteries and maybe test the batteries I took out and go from there, but I'll do that.
Hey, Alan, and here's the cheap dollar store batteries, okay, or Dollar General batteries, whatever. Use the cheap ones, okay?
Why?
They seem to work better according to everything I've heard.
Okay.
Well,
very good. Thank you, gentlemen.
The thought behind that, Tim, is... carbon zinc battery, which would be the dollar store, just the old style flashlight batteries. They're not alkaline batteries. They're the old style. And they do tend to work a little better with electronics that has very low current drain, which is definitely an energy cleaner circuit. It draws very little energy. And the batteries do tend to work a little bit better, but trouble finding them. So the alkaline batteries are just fine. They work great, and to tell you the truth, that's what I run in mine and all the units I set up for people. I just put the regular alkaline batteries. The difference is it doesn't make any difference in the operation of the unit. It's just that the batteries tend to maybe last a little longer, but we're changing them on an annual basis anyway, so it's really not anything to be concerned about. Just get what you can get, but never mix and match. Don't mix battery brands. Don't put old batteries in with new batteries. Don't have Rayovac and EverReady in at the same time. Buy them all in one purchase and change the batteries with new, fresh batteries of the same make.
Very good. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan. Appreciate your call, buddy. All right, folks, calling number is 800-313-9443, 800-313-9443. And we've got a break. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back in about 3 minutes.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Well, I wish I was in the land of cotton wool, town there I'm not forgot to look away, look away, look away, Dixieland. In Dixie's land where I was born in early on one frosty morning, look away, look away, look away, Dixieland. Well, I wish I was in
Report 2019. I am Tim Spencer, sitting in for John Moore. We're talking with Mr. Tom Berryhill right now. Call-in number is 800-313-9443. Give us a call if you want. We'll pretty much talk about anything. Tom, I know that you are an expert ham radio operator. Is there anything we want to talk about on that right now, or do you want to save that for tomorrow?
Well, Tim, I'll talk about any of it. You lead the conversation, and I'll do the best I can, but I don't consider myself an expert at anything. I have a lot of knowledge on ham radio and communications, electronics in general. Learned a lot of it by the School of Hard Knocks, and I can tell you a lot of things about what not to do. I have some expertise in that for sure. You know, you make the mistakes.
Yeah.
From the mistakes. I've had a lot of circuitry go up in smoke, as they call it, the famous smoke test. In fact, they used to call a lot of those the Navy smoke test. You may have heard of that when you were on a submarine.
Oh, absolutely, I have. And there were smoke tests a lot, believe me. Well, let me ask you this, Tom. for the family or group of people that are, you know, what they call preppers. I just like calling it being prepared myself. I don't like labels. What would you recommend for communication? You know, portables for communication among themselves, maybe a shortwave to listen to what's going on in the world. What would you recommend?
Well, as far as communications goes and for emergency purposes, I think really the best would be shortwave.
Okay.
Shortwave radio at a minimum to get information. If it's a very widespread disaster, I would want that. You want to get news and information on a regional or national basis. So you need help with that, and a shortwave radio is going to get you that information. If you're a ham operator, you could, of course, talk and converse with some of the people on there. Now, with the ham radio, all of those HF systems, and that stands for high frequency, and high frequency is typically right above the AM broadcast band up through 30 megahertz. And there's a handful of ham radio bands in that frequency range. So you can have widespread communications 24 hours a day by selecting the proper band. You use the lower frequencies at night, the higher frequencies during the day. And, of course, that changes with the 11-year sunspot cycle, things like that. So,
right.
Anyway, that's the short version of that.
Thank you. That's greatly appreciated. You know, I have been through major disasters. Specifically, Hurricane Hugo was the worst one, 1989 in South Carolina. And there was no media other than AM radios in a car. And that was coming out of Jacksonville, Florida, where the FCC authorized them to transmit at their full power. And believe it or not, that's how we got the news. There were no local stations at all. I mean, none. So if something happened where we were, you know, no phone communications anyway for the first few days, somebody would actually drive from Charleston to Jacksonville, which is about a 3.5-hour trip, with everything written down and give it to the radio station there. I mean, that's how we got our information with that. But if it was a very widespread disaster, there would have been no news at all. So I understand what you're saying about a shortwave, and I absolutely agree. In fact, I'm looking at one right now, receiver, on what was it, Amazon or eBay one, I don't remember which. But you can get a good one for $50, a really good one.
Well, you
so
can.
So it's not an expensive investment.
What's most important, though, Tim, on a shortwave receiver, if you just want to gather information and hear what's going on, the ham radio operators would be one of the best sources out there, because you'll hear, they'll be discussing things in detail, and they'll be talking about their local area, what's going on regionally, and so on, and their signals carry quite a distance. But they'll be talking mainly using single sideband. So you would really need a receiver capable of single sideband operation, and that's crucial if you want this information on a timely basis, in real time, actually, because the shortwave broadcasters that are on AM, very powerful transmitters, are easy to pick up and hear and listen to. They may have their broadcast day is split up into news and music and what have you, so you might not get anything that's live, whereas the ham operators will be telling you play-by-play what's going on in their area, and they'll have their network set up. And they may be discussing this for hours at a time, and you'd hear it real time. That's what's important to be able to tune into.
Great. Well, we'll continue this in just a minute. 800-313-9443, back in 3 minutes.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. We have a special promotion going on at Republic Broadcasting. This is a fundraiser for Republic Broadcasting involving the Energy Cleaner. Mail me a postcard. My address is at my website at thelibertyman.com. We pick a postcard every other Thursday. When your postcard is drawn out, you get to buy an Energy Cleaner for $215 instead of $285, $70 discount. $200 goes to Republic Broadcasting. You also get a 10% discount on my mattress pads. So get those postcards in, put your name, your telephone number, your email address on there, and when your postcard is drawn, you get to get an Energy Cleaner for $215 instead of $285. Mattress pads, 10% off. Help us out at Republic Broadcasting and help yourself to get an Energy Cleaner at a deep discount. It's a win-win situation for everybody. We hope you can get these postcards in soon. Thank you very much.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
The reviews for Xtendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. September 2018. Xtendivite works in keeping my blood pressure in the normal range. I've been using Xtendivite for many years now. May 2018. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. March 2018. This product has relieved what appeared to be angina pain in my chest and shortness of breath after climbing stairs. I'm quite happy about it. February 2018. My husband, son, and I have been using this product for a few months now, and we have noticed an improvement in our joints and blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Xtendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Xtendivite.
John Moore is taking your telephone calls right now on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Pick up the phone and join in the conversation. Call 1-800-313-9443. That's 1-800-313-9443. And thanks for listening to RBN.
And we're back, ladies and gentlemen. This is Tim Spencer sitting in for John Moore. Today is Thursday, the 27th day of June in the year of our Lord, 2019. Right now we're visiting with Mr. Tom Berryhill, who graciously decided to stay on longer than what he was scheduled for to help me out. And Tom, I do thank you for that. Let's go back to shortwave for a minute, because I believe it's really important, Tom. Now, with shortwave, correct me if I'm wrong, you can hear stuff from all over the world, can't you?
That's correct, Tim, all over. And again, at nighttime, you want to use the lower frequencies, anywhere from 2 to maybe 7.4 megahertz, somewhere in that range. You'll hear a lot of broadcasts at night. And there's ham frequencies in there, too, so you'll hear the ham radio operators. But of course, you have to have single sideband. Not in every case. Some ham operators still use AM, but it's very, very minimal. But you can hear some of them as well, and any shortwave receiver would pick that up. But the single sideband capabilities
right.
would be very, very important.
All right. I'm glad you told me that, because I didn't know it. You know, I know a lot about radios, but not ham. I'm glad you told me that. That will make a definite difference on what I purchase. It will be a single sideband receiver.
Right.
But I am going to get one.
Tim, some of the upper scale receivers will have selectable sideband, upper sideband, lower sideband. The it's really not that important if you're just a casual listener. Just as long as it has single sideband capabilities, you'll actually pick up either sideband. The ham operators use lower sideband on the lower frequencies and upper sideband on the higher frequencies. You get above 7 megahertz. The ham radio band 40 meters is 7.0 to 7.3, and above 7.3 they will use upper sideband on those higher frequencies. And then the government and military stations almost exclusively will use upper sideband. They rarely or probably never use lower sideband, and all their equipment is set for upper sideband no matter what frequency they're on.
Right.
So that's how that works.
Well, I know the military uses a lot of stuff in the 140 to 146 range, or at least they used to.
Well, they do.
I don't know.
A lot of the aircraft will use the higher frequencies, but they're still using single sideband. And there's a lot of 400 megahertz range.
Okay.
So
now, that's what our radio system was for. Well, actually, 462 was what our radio system was.
Well, then that would have been FM. But what I'm trying to remember, I did a lot of work for McDonnell Aircraft way back, and I've been in the planes. Well, not flying, but I've sat in the cockpit of the F-18s, and I just remember the comm equipment, and they had some 250 megahertz radio frequencies, I think. I just don't remember. It's been so long ago. But that a lot of that equipment, some was a lot of it was AM, but some of it was single sideband. And their long range frequencies around 12 megahertz. You'll hear airliners on over the oceans. They'll use single sideband on the 12 megahertz range. I've heard there's a lot of aeronautical traffic on those frequencies. So the single sideband capabilities allows you to tune into just about anything you want to hear.
That is neat. That is neat. That's what I want. I'll probably be listening to it almost constantly. I'll have to get rechargeable batteries and a solar panel, but that's okay.
Yeah, it's interesting, and so much of it, though, has been handed off to satellite systems that it's not as popular as it used to be. Back when I started messing with it in the 60s, there was everything you could dream of on shortwave because we didn't have satellite systems back then.
Right.
And I remember hearing a lot of the really long-haul traffic coming in from overseas. It was amazing what you could hear. All of the ship communications was radio teletype or Morse code, and I had to learn Morse code to get my ham license back in those days. So you learned to copy from those broadcasts. There were coded groups. You would hear stations just sending combination of letters. There'd be like five-letter groups that didn't mean anything, but it meant something to the station on the other end. So that's how they
printed out those messages. Right. And then what they did, they printed out those messages on it was yellow paper. I remember that, almost like a teletype machine. And then the radio men would sit down and decode these things.
Right.
And it was interesting.
Well, it was really good for code practice. If you were learning Morse code, you could use that. It wasn't exceptionally fast. I want to say maybe 12 to 15 words a minute, but you'd get your code speed up pretty fast by listening to those things. And then you could hear a lot of the traffic on there, all the maritime cruise ships, any commercial merchant ships or anything on the high seas were all using Morse code, and they'd have a radio man on watch all the time, and they would do all their traffic in Morse code. So, and they would send a lot of plain language, and they would send transmissions for telegrams and things like that. It was all plain language, so you could hear what Aunt Susan was sending to her nieces and nephews back home. You could copy a message and intercept it. And, of course, the law was that you couldn't divulge that information to anyone else if it wasn't meant for you to receive. But you could receive anything you wanted. If you could hear it, you could listen to it, but you were not supposed to divulge that information.
Right. Yeah, in fact, that law still exists in one form. I don't know if it's exactly as it was written back then, but I know the same thing applies to emails and stuff like that. I just don't think anybody knows it.
Right, nobody pays attention to that, but that is the law, and that's how it works. But there's still a lot of Morse code traffic if you are interested in those types of things, radio teletype. There's still quite a bit of that on the high-frequency bands. Of course, then, we're talking about emergency equipment and things. If you want to communicate in your local area, that's where you would use VHF and UHF FM equipment. I don't personally care for the portable radios unless you're talking over a very small area, maybe a square mile or something like that. If you have a large farm or something and you need radios like that, they'll work quite well. But for long range, I don't really care for it. See, a lot of what happens, Tim, is a lot of people get into ham radio and they're newcomers and they don't understand all the ins and outs of it. And everybody's used to using a cell phone. It works nearly everywhere. But there is no infrastructure.
Right.
There's no cellular infrastructure for ham radio use. There could be a repeater station that picks up your weak signal and retransmits it on another frequency with a much higher power. That will extend your range. But These small handheld walkie-talkies and HTs, as they're called, are not the best for that kind of work. So what you want is a higher power mobile unit or your base station, and then you can set up the equipment in ways that will extend that HT into your mobile unit, and it puts the high-power mobile unit in the palm of your hand, so to speak, because it allows that HT to tap into the mobile unit, and then the mobile unit does the heavy-duty work of getting that signal all the way back to the distant station. That's how all the police systems are set up. When you see the cops talking on those walkie-talkies, they're not talking back to headquarters. They're going through the radio in the car, and then the radio in the car takes that signal back to headquarters.
Yeah, we used to have the same thing. It wasn't hard to set up either. In fact, remember correctly, on the Max tracks, I think he did it by computer, if I remember correctly. Hey, we got a caller, Tom. We've got Fred in Iowa on line one. Good morning, Fred. Are you there, Fred? Oops, Fred dropped. Julie just told me. Okay. Well, Fred, if you want to call back, you can, 800-313-9443. Anybody can call in for that matter. We'll talk about pretty much anything you want to. Tom, to me, I don't know if everybody else is as fascinated by radios as I am, but I could talk about this stuff all day, really. Let's talk about monetary cost for a minute, if you don't mind.
Sure.
Let's say that Tim wanted to set up a basic ham radio station and, put up a decent antenna. What kind of money are we talking about? And I understand I'd have to get my license.
Right. Now, it depends on if you want to operate on VHF and UHF, and most of the new ham operators come in with the technician class license, and that allows them to get on those types of frequencies, and they want to talk in their local area, they will have some pretty good equipment purchased if they're willing to use used equipment, and if they're willing to have a budget of maybe, $150, $200, $250, I think they could get set up with everything they need to put a unit in a car or their house. If you want to put a good antenna up at your home, that might cost you another $50 or so. Maybe $100 at the most for a really nice one. You don't need to go overboard with this stuff. It's amazing what you can do with a small amount of money, and if you're willing, some secondhand equipment. There's a lot of good equipment floating around out there, and there's different ham radio websites, and they'll have classified ads. I check the classified ads a couple of times a day, on some of these sites, and I'm mainly looking for test equipment that I can use in my business right. activities, things like that, but there's just a ton of that equipment out there. If you want HF equipment now to work on the short wave bands, and by the way, the ham radio units that you use on the HF frequencies can also double as a shortwave radio. It picks up all the shortwave frequencies, and it would be a very, very good receiver for listening to shortwave broadcasts, as well as using it as a ham radio. So if you want to go that direction, and maybe you get your technician license, and then you want to advance to that next level, that'd be the general class or higher, the extra class, you would want to get a piece of equipment for HF, and I would say if you want to go with used equipment, you could sometimes 300, 350, 500 would be more realistic. The antennas right. are very simple. You would use some wire, just some regular electrical wire. You can make a dipole antenna, very simple to do, and that that would get you on the air. And you would not, you don't have to have some big gigantic tower with large antennas on top. Matter of fact, most of the ham operators never even do that. I've never had a large tower with those big antennas. I've always been more of a casual operator. The big time guys want those big antennas and huge amplifiers. I have an amplifier that's capable of 2.5 kilowatts output, but the ham operators wow. We're regulated to 1.5 kilowatts, 1500 watts peak power.
Right.
So, that's where we keep it. But you'll find out that 90% of the ham radio communications is taking place at the 100-watt level. Very seldom do you operate at really high power levels. It's not required. You can get through just fine with these smaller power levels.
Well, I'll tell you, Tom, when my dad and mom, when they were alive, I was maybe 10 years old, bought a house in Orlando, Florida. The previous owner was a ham operator. And what he did, he had electric fence insulators, the round white ones, and back then, of course, they were ceramic, all around his house with a single wire stretched around it, around the whole house, and right in the eaves of the house. And apparently it worked quite well. My dad considered getting a radio to hook up to it, but we never did. But
that's
the way it right. Yeah, and apparently for this old man, it worked really well.
Just a single strand of wire, and it can be so small it's almost invisible. So you can put up antennas where they're not allowed. There's ways to do that. And anyway, it's real simple to do, and you don't need these big, extensive towers and things like that. It's just not required at all.
Right. Well, I'll tell you, when we had our UHF system run on 462 and 462.25, I had built a tower, and it was probably 40 foot tall. And, man, we could talk to everywhere with that big tower. Of course, it was different frequency. It's very high frequency, ultra-high frequency, actually, vice VLF, you know, what you're talking about. But, you know, I built it just for the fun of building it with scrap steel. In fact, the base of it's still concreted in my side yard.
Well, now, when you get into UHF frequencies, everything is about getting that antenna high in the air. So that's where you do
right.
need towers. Now, the system I had, I built a UHF repeater system, and we put it on the air in December of 75. It was in Clayton, Missouri, which is the county seat for St. Louis County, and it covered a tremendous range. I know in some directions it would go 50 miles, but we were on I think it was 15 or 16 story building. So
right. Oh, that makes a big difference. That makes a very big difference. Our house is up on a hill, so I got some real height because of that.
Right, and I know that you were trying to communicate in your general area. I would say you probably actually got 30 or 35 miles with that system.
Easily. Well, I don't know about easily. It's a little broken up in Rolla. But, you know, the funny thing is going south, Tom, from my house, it only went about 2 miles. Going north, it went all the way up to Rolla, which is about 32 miles as the crow flies from us. And it went to Licking, Missouri, which is about, oh, I guess another 30 miles. And that's sort of to the southwest. But directly behind our house, it didn't work more than a mile or two, which was weird.
Yeah.
Hey, here's our last break, Tom. Hang on. We'll be right back and let you wrap up your closing thoughts. No time for any more calls, folks. We'll be back in 3 minutes.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. This product is superb. I have been taking it for about a year now, and I can feel my cardiovascular system run like a Swiss watch. I definitely recommend this product for anyone that has high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart palpitations. A+. It's potent, but it works. I have been waking up for the past 3 years with numb hands, and a week into using Extendivite, my numb hand seemed to have cleared up. My circulation was off, and now it's back on track. So I'm happy. I feel so energized, and I have my husband on it now. My mother-in-law has cholesterol problems, so I bought her a bottle as well. Thank you so much. Love the product. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
And we're back, ladies and gentlemen. This is Tim Spencer sitting in for John Moore. Today is the 27th day of June, a Thursday, year of our Lord, 2019. Okay, Tom, you got any closing thoughts?
Well, Tim, we talk about preparedness quite often, and John does all the time. That's the topics, you know, that are covered on these shows. And so the bottom line is, if you are wanting to be prepared, you need communications as well as all the other preparedness items, but the communications is my background, and as far as I'm concerned, you need something for your local area, being able to intercept police, fire, even the road crews, because you'll hear a lot of information about what's happening in your general area. And then the short wave equipment with single sideband capabilities will allow you to listen to the ham operators worldwide, nationwide, in your local area. You'll hear everything going on a regional or national basis, international basis if needed, and you'll be able to keep up with things on a instant basis, really, because that information will be real time. You won't have to listen to a broadcast that's going to be on television later that evening. You'll hear it as it happens. So this is what you want to have: shortwave equipment with single sideband capabilities.
Excellent. I agree with you, and I am actively shopping one. You don't got any used ones laying around, do you, Tom?
Well, I'll tell you what, one of my favorite receivers is a very basic unit. It's older, from the 1980s. It's a Kenwood R1000. R for radio, mm-hmm. 1000. Kenwood R1000. That is a very nice receiver. It has a digital readout as well as an analog dial. And you can tune around with that and pick up just about anything you want. I've seen them go as low as $100, but typically they're around $200 on eBay. That's a pretty nice receiver. It doesn't have memories or anything, so you have to have a list of the frequencies you want to listen to. You can go up.
I can remember that.
Another real nice receiver is a Kenwood R5000. That's an older one. And that's also very similar to the Kenwood TS-440 ham radio transceiver. I have one of those. And the receiver,
right, we'll have to talk.
Yeah, we can talk more about this tomorrow also, Tim. I know the show is just about over, but if you're thinking about ham radio, buy a ham radio transceiver and just use the receiver section, and then when you get your license, you can also transmit.
Yeah, so that's one way to do it. I don't mind getting a license. I got a feeling I can pass the test pretty easy. I've always been really good at tests.
You know, the funny thing is, I don't know if I could pass the test today. I haven't taken, the last one I took was in 74. And the reason I say that is because it's so many of the laws have changed. It's not so much the technical side of it. For me, it would be the legal requirements. Some of the frequency bands have changed, the sub bands within the ham bands, where they allow different types of modulation and different types of transmissions. That's changed over the years, so I'd have to brush up on that. And that's okay. So, you know, we all need to study a little bit and then go take that test and get into it. It's easy.
I agree. Well, we'll pick this up first thing in the morning, Tom. Really appreciate you staying over. Helped me out a lot. Ladies and gentlemen, I'll be back tomorrow sitting in for John. We'll have Tom Berryhill the first hour and Dr. Lynn Wilbert the second hour. Should be a really good show. So see you all tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.